Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Shmuel Beis. So we're learning Perek Yud Dalet, and we got up to Pasuk Yud Ches. If you remember last week, we discussed this mashal of the woman from Tekoa, and at the beginning of the Perek, we saw that it was Yoav's idea. Yoav was trying to get David and Avshalom to get back together, to have some sort of a reunion, and different understandings in the Mefarshim exactly what his motivation was, but he brought this woman from Tekoa. She gave him a mashal. And then finally, David begins to understand a little bit of what she's saying in the message that she's conveying. And that's what we're up to this week in Pasuk Yud Ches. So the Pasuk says, Vayan HaMelech Vayomer El HaIsha. So the king responds and he says to the woman, Al Nosech HaChadim Imeni Davar Asher Anochi Shoel Osach. He says, please do not hide anything from me. I'm about to ask you something, and please be honest. You see, he was, he was a little bit nervous, and she's not going to be honest. Probably because until this point, he realizes that she's been put up to this. So he doesn't want her to be dishonest with him, deceiving with him anymore. So please be honest with me. Tomer Ha'isha, Yidaber Na Adoni HaMelech, please, my master, my king, please speak. Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayomer HaMelech, Hayad Yoav Itach B'chol Zos. Is Yoav's hand with you in all of this? He knew what was going on. Right, David's on to him. He said, is Yoav behind all of this? Is that what's going on here? Vatan Ha'isha V'atomer. So the woman responds and she says, Chei Nafshecha Adoni HaMelech. She says, I swear, my master, my king, Im Ish. Now, interesting spelling here. It's spelled Aleph Shin, right? Usually Ish is with a Yud in between. Here it's Ish without a Yud. It's interesting spelling, and the Mefarshim will talk about this. We'll see in a moment. Im Ish lehemin ula hasmil mikol asher diber Adoni HaMelech. We can't go right or left from what the king is saying, from what the king says. We can't veer right to the right or to the left. You're right. You're 100% correct. Ki avdecha Yoav hu tzivani. Yoav, your servant, is the one who commanded me to say all of this, to give this mashal. V'hu sam b'fi shivchascha eis kol hadvarim va'eile. And she's the one who placed all of this in my mouth. He's the one who told me to say everything that I just said. So just, linguistically for a moment, so we mentioned this word ish, aleph shin. So the mefarshim, there's two different interpretations in the Mefarshim. Some say that Ish is really like Yesh. Now, why it's spelled this way, good question. I'm not sure. But that's how Rashi understands it. It's like Yesh. Im Yesh lehemin ula hasmil. Is it possible to go to the right or to the left? It's impossible. It's impossible to veer to the right or to the left, to veer from what you're saying. And the idea is that it's exactly as you're describing. Right? Exactly as you're describing, you're saying that it came from Yoav. That's 100% true. That's exactly what happened. Now, Ish, if you read it, the way that it's spelled, Aleph Shin, and just read it with the Chirik underneath and just ignore the Yud for a moment. So it's Ish. So what does that mean? So that means that even if a person told me to go to the right or to the left, right, I wouldn't be able to listen to them because what you're saying is 100% correct. Either way, it's the same idea. She's conveying the message that exactly as you are, assuming, that's exactly correct. This all came from Yoav. And the end of the Pasuk, interestingly, Yad. Also, the Pasuk begins, Vayomer HaMelech Hayad Yoav Itach, right? Is the hand of Yoav. So what's the hand of Yoav? So the Mitzudas David thinks that this is an allusion to Yoav's wisdom. The hand of Yoav. Now, why the hand of Yoav alludes to the wisdom, I'm not sure. But he says, I think that alludes to Yoav's wisdom. And Yoav was a very wise person. And this was a strategy of his to try to convince David to do this. And we'll see that Yoav felt that he couldn't come to David directly and make this suggestion. He had to go in this roundabout way by enlisting this woman to give the mashal, etc. And at the end, the Pasuk says that v'hu's sam b'fi shivchascha eis kol hadvarim ha'eleh. So this emphasizes something that we said originally, that if you remember in the beginning of the parak, when Yoav was talking to the woman, he said, I want to tell you everything. I want to tell you the mashal to say, and I'm going to tell you how to respond when David replies, because David's going to say something to you, and you now have to know how to say it back. So literally, everything that she said, right, including her response to David's response, that was all included in this, and that's Husam b'fishivchasa is kol advarim va'il. Everything that I said, whether it was my original mashal, whether it was my response to you, everything that I said was included in David, in what David said. Why would he think Yoav first?
Because that's his trusted advisor.
I guess so, yeah.
Nobody else in the world. Why?
I hear you. Again, you know, we don't know so much about this relationship between Yoav and David. You know, I mean, Yoav has been mentioned a few times, but we haven't seen that much in terms of the closeness. It could be that it seems like they were very, very close. And if you have people that are very close to you, you know, that David kind of just intuited that, hey, this smells like it came from Yoav. And he was right.
But why not mention the way that you have
Good question. Good question. I don't know. She was a messenger. You know, it focuses only on where she was from. That's what it focuses on. It's a good question. I don't know.
And the word Ma'isha seems superfluous. It says Vatan and Vatomer. Maybe even the whole phrase is, you know, seems extra. So Vatan, she answered, and we know that she's speaking to him. And we know it's a woman.
Why does the kid keep saying Ha'isha?
So why say the word Isha?
I hear you also. Another good question. I don't know. Why does he keep saying Ha'isha? I don't know. Also a good question. Okay. Pasuk Chaf. Leva'avur sabev es penei hadavar. Asa avdecha Yoav es hadavar hazeh. So now she's justifying what Yoav did, right? And she says the purpose of why Yoav, you know, put me up to this was because he's trying to bring about a certain result. That's sabev, right? To be misavev is to cause something, right? It's like sivuv is a circle, but a circle is many, many interconnected dots, right? You keep going around in a circle. So it's a cause and effect, cause and effect. So sabei mispnei adavar, that's what he was trying to do. Taduni chacham kechachmas malach elokim, and she says, "You, my master, are as wise as an angel of God. Ladas eskol asher ba'aretz. You get everything. You understand everything, right?" And she said this because David right away intuited that, and you know, you figured out exactly what was going on. You figured out exactly what was doing. And because, and it says Metzudas David, this is really the explanation for the pasuk before. Because you're so wise, and because you nailed it on the head, so to speak, that's why no one, you know, there's no room to veer right or left from anything you say. Whatever you say, we're going to do because of your wisdom, and we see your wisdom from here. Now again, Metzudas David points out also that it's clear, Saveh v'spnei adavar, that Yoav felt that this was the most effective way of getting this message across to David. He couldn't come to David, and because of the drama, because of the relationship, because of the emotion involved, he could not come to David and suggest, hey, why don't you rekindle with Avshalom? Why don't you get back together? Why don't you make peace? Why don't you go out for coffee? He couldn't do that. Maybe because of what, at the end of the day, Avshalom got Amnon killed. As much as Amnon sinned, but still he was his son, right? So David, you know, bore resentment from that. Whatever the case was, you know, their relationship was not one, and we'll see a little bit more about this, was not one where he could have just come directly and say, hey, I think this is a great idea. And this is the way that he felt was the most effective way of doing it. Okay. Now, the king, David, understands, he gets the confirmation that it was from Yoav. So now what does he do? He goes back to Yoav. Right, Yoav is his trusted advisor. So now it's out in the open. I know that Yoav was behind this. Now I'm going to come to Yoav and have a conversation. And the king comes and he speaks to Yoav and he says, "Hinei na asisi es hadavar hazeh. I've done this." Okay, now here it says asisi, but we'll see in the mafarshim in a moment. They understand it slightly differently. "Velei hashev es hanar es avshalom." Now go bring him back. Go bring him back. Now what's "I've done this"? So the Mefarshim don't really explain it because the Mefarshim, it's interesting, the Radak points out here that although we have Asisi in the Pasuk and that's it, right? That's all we have in the Pasuk, right? If I'm not mistaken, I think even if you look, right? The art scroll just has Hine Naasisi. That's it. Anybody here have any other text, variant text? No. Oh, what else would there be? So the Radak says that he found in verified manuscripts, that Asisi is the Ksiv, but there's a Kri and a Ksiv here. And the Kri is really Asisa, that you did this. Okay, that's the Kri. That's how it's supposed to be read. And therefore you read it, Hineina Asisa es hadavar hazeh. Hey, Yoav, you're the one who started this whole thing, right? You initiated this rekindling, reunion, making up between me and Avshalom. So if you initiated it, you started it. So therefore, v'leichashiv es hanaras Avshalom. So you finish it. You finish the job, right? As the Mefarshim say, t'ramascho b'mitzvah omrim lo gemor. Right, whoever starts the mitzvah, right? The Gemara has another Aramaic phrase for this idea, but it's the same idea. Whoever starts the mitzvah, you go finish the mitzvah, right? So that's David's message to Avshalom. Hey, I'm sorry to Yoav. Hey, Yoav, you came up with this idea. You know what? It's not a bad idea, but it's your idea, so go for it, right? Go back, get Avshalom, and bring him in, and let's talk together. Now, that's if you understand it as Asisa. Now, what's Asisi? So Asisi, the Mefarshim don't really talk about because they all kind of assume it's Sudas Tavid and the Radak. Both assume that it's Asisa. But I did see, if you look in the art scroll at the bottom, Asisi. So the way they explain it here on the bottom, I have done this thing. I have consented to forgive Avshalom. That's how the commentary here understands it. Hinei no Asisi es hadavar hazeh. I'm going along with it. It's a good idea. I hear what you're saying. And I'm going along to forgive Avshalom for what he did, for arranging Amnon's murder. Okay? And therefore, let's do this and go get Amnon. Avshalom, I'm sorry, I'm bringing him back. Yeah.
Was this part of his plan?
Who?
Yoav, that he was going to speak to David directly. Yeah. So why did he have to make it? If he was going to speak to him anyway.
Because Yoav thought that if he would come to David, and he would broach this subject directly, David would shoot him down. And David would say, no, I'm not interested. He killed Amnon, forget about it. I'm not interested in Avshalom coming back. Right? The only way, and by the way, it's interesting because we find that he wasn't the only one to come to David and make a point through a mashal. Who else did we see do that? Nasan the Navi, after the story with Bathsheba, right? How did he give David Musar? Through the mashal. And David came to it on his own. So maybe Yoav, I'm just thinking about this right now, maybe Yoav was tipped off by that and he said, you know what, that worked then. And, you know, sometimes you come to someone directly and they push back at you. But you get them to realize it on their own, paint a picture, right, tell a story, get them to realize it on their own, and then show them how what happened, what transpired was really the exact same thing as this story. So then they'll see things in a different light. And he understood that there was too much emotion involved. David would not have been able to see clearly through all of the emotion unless he painted this unrelated picture, like this woman did of her two sons and they were fighting, etc. Unrelated picture, no emotion involved. David was able to understand that, to evaluate it, to paskin. Nope, this is what, you know, I'm going to protect the son. Don't worry about it. And then she said, listen, this is exactly what happened with your two sons. And then he thought about it. He said, you know what? She's right. Right? She's right. So Yoav knew this was the only effective way of getting David to recognize it. And again, maybe he was tipped off by what Nasan did. Okay. So David says to Yoav, go get Avshalom, let's bring it back. So sounds good, right? Sounds like we're going to rekindle here. We're going to make Shalom. We're going to make peace. Sounds good. Chaf Beis, by Yipol Yoav El Panov Arza. So Yoav falls down. He prostrates himself. He bows down. By Yishtachu. Vayivarech es hamelech, and he blesses the king. Vayomer Yoav hayom yoda avdecha ki matzasi chen be'einecha aduni hamelech. I see that I have found favor in your eyes, my master, the king. Asher asa hamelech es devar avdecha. That you think what I'm saying is a good idea, right? Yoav said, I had this idea. You're going with it. You're excited about it. This is great, right? Thank you so much. I see that you really value my opinion and you value my advice. Vayokom Yoav, and Yoav gets up. Vayelech keshura. And he goes to Geshur, and if you remember, that's where Avshalom had run to, right, where his maternal grandfather was the king. So he went there, he went to Geshur to retrieve Avshalom. Vayavei es Avshalom Yerushalayim. And he's bringing Avshalom back to Yerushalayim, which is where David is the king, obviously. Okay, now, as this is happening, and maybe this was right before, now here's where the drama begins. Vayomer HaMelech, and the king says to Yoav, Yisov El Beiso, I want him to come to his house in a roundabout way. In a roundabout way, not through the streets, not direct. Don't take the regular highway into the city. Take the back entrance, right? Come in, you know, through the back entrance.
So it's not
directly. Not
directly.
Yeah. I hear you. What is the, how does the art school translate it? Yisova Beso. Let him go around to his house. I think that's more accurate. Well, you'll see from the Mefarshim also. Ufanai lo yireh, says David. But I don't want him to see my face. Vayisov Avshalom el Beiso. So Avshalom did that. He went in a roundabout way into his house. Ufnei hamelech lo ra'ah. And he didn't see the king's face. Now, all of a sudden, we see, okay, things are not 100%, right? Things are not 100%. If David was 100% into this reunion, he would have said, bring him in, let's have coffee, you know, bring him to the palace. David says, I'm willing for him to come back, but under the following two conditions. Number one, bring him in the back way, not the front way. And what does that mean? Says the Malbim, the prince comes back to town after being in exile for a while. How does the prince come in? You come in the main entrance, right? With you bring maybe the Achnasa Sefer Torah truck, you know, you play some music, you know, the trumpets, right? You make a big, you make a big deal. You bring in the marching band. No, the back door, quietly, roundabout. I don't want people to see. I don't want this to be a public thing. He's welcome to come back quietly, right? Not for people to see. So you see already that David is not 100% into this. And number two, Ufnei HaMelech lo yireh. You see that he's not over the anger. I don't even want to see the guy. He can come back. He doesn't have to live in exile for the rest of his life. He can come back into the city. I don't want to see his face. Right? So you see David is still harboring a lot of resentment here for Avshalom, and this is going to be important. You're saying we're ignoring the familial relationship. Good. I didn't notice that. Right? Very good. No father son here. The king, right? It's the king. Good observation. Very good. Okay. Pasuk Kaf Hei. Now, this seems to be a completely unrelated pasuk, and we're going to see why it's mentioned here. Pasuk Kaf Hei. Ucha Avshalom lo haya ish yafeh b'chol Yisrael. Lahalel ma'od. Says the pasuk. Avshalom, he was the most handsome guy in the whole nation. There was no one as good looking as Avshalom in Klal Yisrael. Lahalel me'od. People would praise his beauty. Mikaf raglo v'yad kadkado lo haya v'mum. Perfect. Not a blemish. Not a hair out of place from his head to his toes. Everything was beautiful and perfect. Where does this come from, right? At left field, all of a sudden. Yeah, we've been talking about Avshalom for a couple of prakim already. He was on the run, maybe, yeah, right? But why all of a sudden are we introducing his looks? What's happening here? So all of the Mefarshim are bothered by this pasuk. What in the world is this doing here? All of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, we start talking about how good-looking Avshalom was? Says the Radak, and the Malbim also says this, that this pasuk is really the introduction to Avshalom's rebellion. We're about to see. This is the unfolding, and then we're going to see it next parak, you know, come to full force. Avshalom's going to rebel against his father. These are the seeds of the rebellion. Avshalom had an arrogance to it. He was good looking. People that are good looking, sometimes they get a little bit full of themselves. And Avshalom was. He was a little bit arrogant because of his looks. Now, here also, he thought, not just that he was arrogant because of his looks, he thought that he was also the best candidate to take over as king. Right? His father's not going to live forever. David needs a successor. Who's going to take over for him? I'm the best guy. I'm the best looking one. I'm the most talented. Okay? He was the next in line. After Amnon died, right? He was the next in line. He was the next oldest. So he's thinking to himself, this is great. I'm the next one in line. I'm going to be the next king. However, the Radak says, maybe he heard through the grapevine that David had other plans, right? And of course, what was David's plan? David's plan was to anoint who as his successor? Shlomo, his son Shlomo, right? So maybe he heard through the grapevine that David was thinking about this other kid, Shlomo. Mm-mm. Now Avshalom begins to think, no, we can't have this. This can't be, right? I'm going to be the one to be the next king, not Shlomo. Not Shlomo. Now, okay, also, right, Yosef was a little bit into his looks, right? The Torah says he was a nar, and he was osamais narus, Chazal said. He was a little too involved in his looks. And that's a little bit what caused his downfall. Very good. Very good. Right? It's a good parallel. Now, the Malbim says, you know, what was it that David was thinking about Shlomo? So number one, he says, David, it's clear from the Psukim that David did not really like Avshalom too much at this point. Maybe he liked him a lot before, but once he arranged Amnon's murder, you know, David was not in favor of Avshalom to be the successor. So there was a little bit of a sin. There's a little bit of a hatred here between David and Avshalom. Not only that, but David also got a nevuah. He got a nevuah that Shlomo was going to be the next king. Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, Perek Aleph Pasuk Chav Beis. I'm sorry. Divrei Hayomim Aleph Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Tes tells us very clearly, Hinei Vein Nolad Lach. There will be a son born to you. And at this point, the only son that had not been born yet was Shlomo. Pasuk says, Hinei Vein Nolad Lach. You're going to have a son. Avshalom was already alive. So that means this nevuah was about a future son. Yihyeh Ish Menucha. He's going to be a man of peace, unlike David, who was a man of war. I'm going to allow him to rule over all of his enemies. Misaviv, ki Shlomo yihyeh shemo. His name will be Shlomo. V'shalom v'sheket etena al Yisrael v'yamav. And Bnei Yisrael will be at peace. The name Shlomo also indicated the state of the Jewish people at that time. People will be quiet at peace during his reign. So David gets a nevuah that the future king is not going to be one of his current sons, but it's going to be a son that will be born to him, and his name is Shlomo. So it can't be this kid Avshalom. Sorry? And Avshalom also has blood on his hands, right? Well, right, I mean, okay, so you're saying based on this nevuah, based on the nevuah, he's not an Ish Menucha necessarily, right? Yeah, could be. You know, even though he didn't kill it himself, you know, he arranged for Amnon's death, but yeah, you're right. We also find, the Malbim points out, that Shlomo promised Bathsheba that her son Shlomo would be the king, right? And that's you find in the Pasuk in Malachim Aleph, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, L'chi uvoi al ha-melech, David, go into King David, V'yamart Elov, halo ata Adonai ha-melech, nishbata la'amaz ha-lemur. You promised me, Bathsheba says, saying, that Shlomo is going to be the king after me. That's the story over there, right? But so not only did David get a nevuah, he also promised Bathsheba that Shlomo was going to take over. So now the Malbim says that Avshalom probably was not aware of the nevuah, right? So it's not that he was aware of the nevuah, but he knew that his father didn't like him. And especially once he got the message, you're welcome to come into town, but you're not allowed to come in the main highway and you're not allowed to see your father's face. Avshalom's he's seeing the writing on the wall, right? That he's not the favorite son here. He's not the one who David is looking to take over his reign. Okay. But he thought that he was the most fit. So here's the tension that is the perfect storm, so to speak, right? All the ingredients of this perfect storm to lead to Avshalom's rebellion. Pasuk Chavav. The pasuk goes on to describe his beauty and his looks. Uvegalcho es rosho. He had beautiful hair, and he had a lot of it. When he would get a haircut, pasuk says he would get a haircut once a year. Why would he only get a haircut once a year? A nazir. Some mafarshim say he was a nazir. Nazir, a special kind of Nazir, actually, which is called the Nazir Ola. Right? He was a permanent Nazir. Usually Nazirus has a limit, a term, 30 days, you know. But he was a Nazir Ola. He was a Nazir forever. Now, a Nazir forever is, you would think, is never allowed to cut his hair. But then, obviously, the hair can get out of control. So a Nazir Ola is permitted to cut his hair once a year if it gets too much. And even then, it's only with a razor. You can't cut it so nicely. And that's what he would do. Once a year, his hair would get a little too much, and Avshalom would cut his hair. We'll see his hair is also going to lead to his downfall, you know, at the end of the story. Yeah, that's right, exactly. Ki chaveid alav, because the hair was very heavy. Right? It was too much for him. The gilcho, he would cut it once a year. V'shakal es sa'aro sho masayim shkolim be'evin ha'melech. And it weighed 200 shkolim, like the weight of the hair, however much that was. But it was a significant weight, you know, that he had a lot of hair that came off every year. And the Radak says, this too led to his arrogance. You know, people have a lot of hair. You know, he did his hair and he made his hair look nice. He was involved with his hair. You know, this also led to this arrogance and being a little bit full of himself. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayivaldu le'Avshalom shlosha vanim uvas achas. Avshalom had three sons and a daughter. Ushma Tamar. And interestingly, he names his daughter Tamar, which is the same name as his sister, which caused this whole issue. And Tamar was abused. And Avshalom, you know, avenged her abuse. That's what started this whole problem. He names her Tamar. Ki haisa isha yafas mar'eh, and she was this beautiful, a beautiful, beautiful woman. Now, the Malbim points out that, and this is not in the Psukim, but the Malbim points this out based on Chazal, that his children, although he had the, why is it mentioning his children here? Three children and a daughter. It's very, very nice, you know, nice family tree. But why? They died, right? They all died around this time. And not only did they die, but their death added to his desire to be the king. Why? Because if you have children, so then your legacy is carried on through your children. But here, all of his kids died. He had no legacy. He had no, there's no one to, no one to remember his name. So he thinks to himself, how am I going to have a legacy? How am I going to leave an impact in this world? The only way is, I got to be the king. So this fueled his passion to be the next king. Now, not only that, Pasuk Chav Ches, Vayeshev Avshalom b'Yerushalayim shnasayim yomim, ufnei hamelech lo ra'ah. He lived in Yerushalayim now for 2 years after coming back, and not once did he see the king. Not once did he see David. And again, Hamelech, like you're saying, right? Not his father, not David. Hamelech. He didn't see the king's face. The Malbim points out, he didn't see the king's face even after his children died. David didn't come to visit him. David didn't come to comfort him. What happens? Your kids die and David doesn't come to comfort him? All of a sudden, the hatred is building, right? Another coal to add to the fire here. That you have this hatred, the seething hatred now that he has for his father. He brought me back into town, wouldn't let me come into the main gate. He won't even show his face to me. And now my children die. He doesn't even come to comfort me. A chutzpah. Avshalom is seeth. Avshalom is upset. And he says, that's it. I've had it. I've had it. He's going to see my face now. It's based on Chazal. It's not in the Pesukim. But it's based on Chazal, I believe. Okay, Pasuk Chav Tes. Vayishlach Avshalom el Yoav lishloach oso el ha-melech. So Avshalom sends a message to Yoav. Yoav is the middleman here. And Avshalom says, I want to see the king's face. That's the message he sends to Yoav. Lishloach oso el ha-melech. Velo ava lavo elav. Yoav doesn't come. He ignores it. Why? Because he knows it's not happening. There's no way. I'm never going to be able to convince David to have a face-to-face meeting with Avshalom. He hates Avshalom, right? There's no way. I got him. Finally, I got him to let him come back into Yerushalayim. And even that, with all these conditions and Tanayim, and he can't see him and through the back door, there's no way David's going to agree to a sit-down meeting. So Yoav ignores it. He ignores the message. He doesn't come. That doesn't make Avshalom very happy. Vayishlach od shenis. So Avshalom sends a second message to Yoav saying, hey, you better arrange this. I want to see my dad's face. Velo avo lavo. And again, He's not sending. He's not coming.
Is this during the 2 years that he's in Yerushalayim or after?
Good question. Probably after.
So the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Malbim says that he was also getting the message, as Yoav's not coming, why is Yoav not coming? He wasn't dumb. Figured Yoav's not coming because he probably figures that my father's never going to want to see me. Right? And why is he not going to see me? Because I'm not going to be the next king. So you have all this tension now, building under the surface. Vayomer el Avadav. Avshalom says, that's it, I've had it. Vayomer el Avadav. Ru'u chelkas Yoav el Yodi. Look, right next to my property. That's Yoav's field. Velo Sham Seorim. He's got a nice barley field. His barley is growing in the field. Lechu, that's Yisua Va'esh. Light the field on fire. That'll get Yoav to come. Vayatzisu Avdei Avshalom Esachelka Ba'esh. And the men go and they light the field on fire. They light Yoav's field on fire. Right? Avshalom figures, you know, this is going to get him to come. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayokom Yoav Vayovo El Avshalom Abayis. So Yoav, his field is on fire. He quickly runs and he runs to Avshalom's house. Vayomer Elav. What's going on over here? Why are you lighting my field on fire? So Avshalom says, oh, very nice of you to show up. Shalom Aleichem. Hinei shalachti elecha leibor bo, right? Bo heina. You didn't get my message? You didn't see my email? I said you should come here. Ve'esh lecha oska el amelech leibor. Lama basi. And I wanted you to send a message to the king, to David, saying, Lama basi mikashur. Why'd you bring me back here? Well, you brought me back here just to terrorize me? You brought me back from Geshur? Remember, in Geshur, he was living a good life. His maternal grandfather was the king, right? He was taken care of. He was happy. I had a good life over there. You bring me back to Yerushalayim to disgrace me? So that I go in the back door, the king doesn't show his face to me? You don't even respond to my messages? This is why I came back from Geshur? Tovli, Odani Sham. Better had I stayed in Geshur. I would have been better off. Ve'ata erep ne'amelech v'imyesh bi'avon v'himi sani. He says, now I want to see the king's face. I want to see the king's face. If he has something to say to me, let him say it to my face. If I did something wrong, kill me. Right? Put me to death. But don't just ignore me. Don't just ignore me. Right? You see the pain also that, you know, how much ignoring gets at someone. I'd rather do it to death. You know, at least tell me. You did something wrong. You hide me, so I'm going to kill you. Right? But to live like this, in secret, nobody's, David doesn't look at me. Yoav's not responding to me. I can't live like this. Now, the Mefarshim say that really his message was, listen, I'm really innocent. I didn't do anything wrong. Because the reason why I got Amnon killed was because of what he did to my sister Tamar. I was just defending her. I was avenging her abuse. So I didn't really do anything wrong. And if you think I'm Chayiv Misa, so then, you know, try me and kill me. If you think I'm Chayiv Misa. Okay. Vayovo, so now, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayovo Yoav El HaMelech. So Yoav now is forced, he has no choice. So he comes to the king, he comes to David, Vayagilo, and he tells him what's going on. He tells him what Avshalom wants. Vayikra El Avshalom, Vayovo El HaMelech. So David sends a message to summon Avshalom, and he summons him to the king. Vayishtachulo Al Apov Arza. Avshalom bows down to David, Bifnei HaMelech. Vayishak HaMelech. Avshalom, and the king kisses Avshalom, and that's the end of the parak. Now it seems like that's a nice ending, right? Yeah. Seems like it's a nice ending. Like finally, okay, maybe David's warming up a little bit, warming up. The Malbim says no. It says that this vayishak, right? Vayishak hamelach leAvshalom. He says whenever it says vayishak in Tanakh, stam, without, well, not the kiss of death necessarily, but not. Maybe like Yaakov and Esau, okay. I hear you. No dots here. With Binyamin, when? Yosef and Binyamin? I don't remember off the top of my head. You have to look. But he says that Vayishak Stam means a kiss on the hand, a kiss on the shoulder, you know, a kiss like that. But in Tanakh, we find that real kisses are face to face. A kiss on the lips, not a romantic kiss on the lips, but a show of affection, a kiss on the lips, right? Like you find in Tanakh. That's not what it says here. This was not a kiss of affection. This was a kiss of, you know, okay, welcome back. Zehu. That's it. This was a cold kiss. A cold kiss. And the message was very clear, clearly sent to Avshalom. You want to see me? Here I am. Right? But this is it. You're not going to be the next king. We're not going to be on warm, friendly terms anymore. You did what you did. I disagreed with it. My son is dead because of you. I agree he wasn't a good person. Maybe he did something wrong, but you shouldn't have died over it. I'm upset with you about it. And this is how our relationship is gonna be. This is it. And you're not going to be the next king. That was the message clearly sent, says the Malbim at the end, with this, even by Yishak, which sounds good, but it wasn't good. It wasn't really good. And that was the message that he sent. And we'll see, as the Mefarshim say, the last half of this parak, or the last third of this parak, was really all the unfolding of Avshalom's rebellion. Because you have all these pieces adding fuel to the fire and bubbling underneath the surface. And whenever that happens, what's going to happen? It's going to explode. It's going to bubble over. It's going to explode. And that's what we're going to see in Meretz Hashem next week in Perek Tesvav with Avshalom's rebellion. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Shkoyach for coming, everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. No, I don't think he bought him. Be well, Aaron.
You too. Thank you, Rabbi.